Hey everybody, before we start the show, just wanted to let you know that we're doing a live show in Los Angeles at Largo on July 19th at 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. You can buy tickets at LargoLA.com. That's LargoLA.com. We hope to see you there. And if you do come out, bring some extra cash because we have an exclusive item that is only available for the people at the live show. And I'm very excited about this one. It's going to be awesome. To find out what movies we're doing that night, you can follow us on our Twitter account or on our Facebook page. That's right. And we're not going to cloud up your feed with a bunch of bullshit. We're going to give you the real information that you need to know. And before we start today's show, just a brief announcement. The How Did This Get Made Awards are coming. We have our categories, but we're still open to ideas. If you want to create something that is maybe a musical tribute by taking clips of the show and mashing them together or doing a cool sound collage, anything and everything we're open to because we want to include fan submissions. We love the one that was made for us a little while ago that kind of put together the literallys, the bonkers, the upsettings, the disturbings. So if you want to take a crack at that, please do send them over to us. We would love to have your submissions for the How'd This Get Made Awards, which are happening late this summer. Now on with the show. Finally, the unauthorized sequel of an American classic through the eyes of the makers of Birdemic in the Room. We saw Easy Rider 2, The Ride Back, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made. We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. You wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Paul Scheer, joined, as always, by Jason Manzoukas. How are you, Jason?
What's happening, Paul?
And also June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
I'm
called you Jason. Sorry. Really off.
Freudian slip.
We have a very special guest with us today. Hilarious stand-up. A great actor. Great guy. Nick Thune.
Wow. Thank you. Here I am. I'm here.
All right. So, guys, this movie was brought to my attention very recently, and it's so crazy. And I know that maybe a lot of you have not seen Easy Rider 1. June, you have not seen it.
I haven't.
Nick, you have not seen it.
I saw the Wikipedia page.
Yeah, and Jason, did you?
I have seen it.
Okay, and I have seen it as well. So if you've not seen it, basically in a very compact way, you know, it's Peter Fonda and Dennis Hopper, kind of these two hippies that are just out on this kind of road trip movie. And, you know, they take drugs, they meet prostitutes, they get put in jail, and at the end they get killed by rednecks.
Both get killed?
Yeah. Fonda and Dennis Hopper. So they, and it's a seminal 60s.
It's like it's like one of the new Hollywood kind of, you know, huge movies of new Hollywood. You know, like the
changed everything. Yeah. It was about, you know,
it's
drugs
about the counterculture.
And
it's, you know,
gotcha.
Jack Nicholson's also in it. It's
Hopper directed it.
Yeah, Dennis Hopper directed it. And it comes out of like that scene that is like the LA kind of Easy Riders, Raging Bulls. You know, like Peter Biskin. That book has huge parts that are about that. The movie's
it's an independent movie. It was a cool, a very interesting movie, and so that's why.
The exact same.
Yeah, exactly the same. So this movie is very interesting because you go, well, how can you do a sequel to Easy Rider? Well, apparently this is how it happened. I'm just gonna setting up a little bit before we get into it because it's fascinating. Phil Fitzer, who is the lead actor in this film.
Yeah, was dynamite from start to finish.
Always. He's a lawyer.
The Bruce Jenner.
Yes, the Bruce Jenner, okay, Peter Fonda lookalike.
That's who Bruce Jenner goes to his hairstylist and says this.
Yeah, give me this. I feel like this movie got made, and you're going to tell me how it got made.
Yeah, sure.
But I feel like this movie got made simply because people kept telling this guy, you look like Peter Fonda.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think that, by the way, not only did they tell him that, he loved when people
told yes.
him. Well, he is a very wealthy lawyer who is now retired. And he bought the sequel rights to Easy Rider with several other investors in 2003 because the rights holder was being sued for not proceeding with a proposed sequel. So there was some trickery where they were able to get the rights of the name Easy Rider, and a lawyer, not an actor,
that guy that played the role.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, you're telling me the lead of this movie is not an actor.
Not an actor.
I am shocked to find that out. And I mean that only because his performance was amazing.
I will say...
Amazingly,
Here's what I'll say about the performance, though. And again, I don't know what this performance is based on, because I unfortunately...
Well, it's not based on anything. He's like, this is brother.
Yeah,
this
you're right. This is the brother. So this is a new... Yes, but I do feel, okay, this is somebody who's not an actor, and I at least appreciated that the choices that were being made were subtle. They're not, it's not someone going after
He's
insane.
Not chewing up the scenery.
No.
Yes, you're right.
So it's just interesting. He has never had, I'm sure, any acting experience.
I don't know. Paul, had he done anything?
Oh, he seems. I mean, this is all I know. I'm trying. No,
he doesn't have a picture on IMDb. I know that.
No.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I would imagine he doesn't. I mean, he's not an actor. Yeah.
He's very wooden.
He's on IMDb.
He's very wooden. And that's fine. But
I'm also confused about who Virgil is and who Morgan is.
Well, I need to get into.
Okay.
The
plot of the movie we can really get into.
Can I say how the lawyer thing makes sense to me now? Because one of my things in here was the branding and the logo of the product that he was making in the first scene. That, for him, he was like, well, when this thing goes, people are going to want this cross.
Yep.
Because the cross was also in the guest bedroom that his father was staying
it's
in at
tattoo.
His sister's
yes.
house.
And it's
how
would that have gotten on the there? Dad's arm.
And the necklace that she's wearing.
Yes.
Well, here, I'll just give you a couple more details about
his he has a tattoo of it right there.
Yeah, yep. Everyone's got the Scarlet Cross.
It was,
which I think was in the original Easy Rider, maybe? I don't know. So Fitzer wrote the screenplay. He wrote the screenplay.
If anybody has a copy of that screenplay, please send it to
us. Well, here goes. The plan in 2003 was to use deleted scenes from Easy Rider, the first film, and make the sequel. So he'd be mixing footage.
Yeah, flashing back.
Apparently, producer of Easy Rider was like, no. You cannot do that.
Why?
And sued him. And so they won the lawsuit. So they're able to not use footage, but make a sequel. So that is it. He said the movie was done every year from 2007 to 2013, but it wasn't released until 2013. It was never had a problem with financing or anything.
They were shooting
it
that whole time.
No, he said it, like, he's been on record that it was done in 2007.
So he's like a Tommy Wiseau type character.
Yes.
But except that whereas Tommy is very over the top and dramatic, this guy is very wooden and reserved.
You know what's interesting about the two of them? They both have hair that
doesn't have place of origin.
Yes. Yeah. It's sort of. It's so hard to describe the texture of it, but it's...
The guy from The Room, right?
The guy from The Room, yeah. He also... The color is... It's dyed,
yes,
right?
Yes, for sure.
For sure. And they're both very pale guys, so it's just a shock to look at.
And they have that veiny the muscle.
They have that like HGH kind of vascular thin skin.
Which
big
really
veins.
Came out in that last scene where he's wearing that sleeveless shirt.
Yeah, they both look a little like translucent, but the hair...
The guy in this movie straight up looks like a lizard.
He looks like Bruce Jenner mixed with Peter Fonda.
He looks like Bruce Jenner now. Bruce Jenner who is in the midst of transferring into becoming a woman.
I don't believe
that. I don't
that.
Either, but there's something going on with crazy amounts of plastic surgery for sure.
Bruce Jenner suffers from having had plastic surgery
early.
He was an early adapter. Yeah, he had plastic surgery in the 80s, so.
Those people who are early adopters, they need, they're on the cutting edge, literally.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to make up for what went wrong then, and it's just now.
Just fix it.
I don't know if that's entirely true. I don't think he's trying to fix it. I think he's getting more and more, and it's looking worse
His entire face is sliding off of his skull.
Well, I will say there was a whole episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians dedicated to him trying to fix.
Oh, really?
He actually really struggles with it, and he feels badly about it.
Okay.
And,
okay. Well, you don't want to get
all right, then let's be cool.
June is very upset. you can see her face here. She's really, I want to talk about something that, Nick, you said, and I just realized this right here. An alternate title of this movie was The Scarlet Cross.
Oh, that's interesting. That would have been...
Yeah.
Is there product? Is there anything online like a website you can buy Scarlet Cross? Because I did go to the movie's website and they actually have deleted. It says deleted scenes from the movie, and then all it is just screenshots from scenes of the movie.
Well, it seems like there's a lot.
There's 44 of them.
Yeah, there's 44 scenes. He wrote two screenplays. This guy, Easy Rider: The Ride Back and Easy Rider: The Search Continues, which is, I guess, the version that used clips from the old movie.
Huh.
But yeah. So, and by the way, I will say one more thing, and then we can get in really into it. That Easy Rider was conceived as a sequel at one point with Dennis Hopper and Peter Fonda reprising their characters in post-apocalyptic Earth riding through a gate.
Wait, this has nothing to do with this gentleman in this movie. You're just saying there was.
There was, in 2002, they were going to like, hey, let's just jump back on those motorcycles and do.
Love that.
Would love that. Yes.
Okay. I actually knew somebody in this movie, too.
So did I.
Yeah, me too.
Joey Kern.
Yeah.
Who? Could we get him on the phone?
Yeah, I know. Well, did he have any
lines? What was
it
like on set? No lines.
Yes, no lines. He just had sex.
He never had a line.
He did?
Never
had a line.
No. She asks him a question at the end, and she looks at him.
She says, tell me you love me. And he says nothing.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You're right.
And which goes back to the end when he actually says to Morgan, I'll be right behind you. And then he goes to like go see his father and sister. When you're thinking, oh, he's going to take off because the same way you couldn't commit.
Wait, I'm sorry. Back then.
Different guy.
Nick.
That's Wes.
That's West Coast.
Nick.
Wes is Jeff Fahey.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's right.
This is the guy.
Joey Kern is Damien.
But that's the younger version. That guy is not his sister.
No, Joey Kern.
No, that guy is Morgan's sister. That girl is Morgan's sister.
Yeah. Yes.
And that guy is West Coast.
West Coast.
Jeff Fahey's kid.
Yes. And wait, you didn't know that?
No, I did know that.
No, I think June and I thought that Nick was suggesting it was an incestuous relationship.
Yes.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. Okay. Oh, so, okay.
That's all.
Don't they leave it to, like, why did he not have to, why didn't he just ride up with him? Because then you don't even hear
the
motor.
He had to, like, for real prepare himself to see the girl again.
Yeah.
And he had to make sure that as much of his gross hair was sticking out of his head at obtuse angles so that he could make the best possible impression.
By the way, Jeff Fahey, a famous actor, good actor.
Great.
Who was probably just sucked into this movie because it seemed like he probably shot for, like, 2 days.
I couldn't figure that out. How on earth did Jeff Fahey wind up in this movie?
Here's the thing about this movie. I'm curious to know what the budget is because
crane shots. Helicopter shots.
A lot of impressive.
A lawyer.
In this movie. Yes. Like,
a rich lawyer.
What's the budget of the movie? Do you know?
Probably Jeff Fahey's old lawyer.
Okay.
But you know what?
I bet you're right.
Yeah.
I bet he's Jeff Fahey's old lawyer. Hey, man. Dude, you owe me.
The scene, especially the first one when they're riding together and Jeff Fahey's like
screaming all of his lines.
Screaming his lines and cracking him up and he's riding just going.
that was my favorite scene in the movie. It's one guy laughing, Fahey goes, music is playing so loud.
And he's screaming so loud.
The music is so loud. It's deafening.
You can't do real audio.
Yeah.
You can't do real audio. Like, I actually looked into one point skydiving and doing audio, and you can't. Wind. You can't ride a motorcycle and get good audio.
Fine, but why wouldn't they ADR over? Why wouldn't they just pull the level of the music down?
They wanted it to be real.
Oh, I think they did ADR it. I think this is still what they chose. Yeah.
Strange.
The voices in this movie are crazy. I will say that it's the only movie that I've ever seen that has real time driving.
Oh yeah,
yes. It really
very
when
slow.
When he first meets West Coast and they leave the stunt track to go to the other thing, it's like. I'm like, oh, this is an actual drive. We are on a drive.
Same thing when they meet the girl at the bus restaurant.
Yes.
And they're like, do you know where we can get some reefer? And she's like, well, we call it pot. And they're like, well, hop on the back of my bike. And she's like, oh, I ride my own bike. And then there's like a sexy like ride
the
where they ride like
too.
10 minutes to go get reefer. And she's riding up front. She's like riding her own bike. And it's like, but you're right. It's a real-time ride. They ride across town to get weed.
It's so crazy.
How many minutes of the movie do you think is just spent on
40
people?
It's not enough. I would 40 say this.
Minutes, 40 minutes worth of people on motorcycles while music plays.
They're all these beauty shots. It's like a car commercial in that way.
Here's something I really genuinely have to say. There is not in this entire movie, there is one. I want to amend this. There is only one shot in this entire movie with a car in it.
it's the Escalade that pulls up to the house.
That's it.
No, and the old-timey truck. In the past, there was like an old truck when he gets back from war.
But I will say that everybody rides motorcycles. But that Escalade is very much like, you're a square because you fucking drive a car.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You're a motorcycle fan.
Yes, exactly.
Something I saw from the beginning, though, I just want to get out there.
Yeah.
We also saw Nebraska.
Sure.
The landscape shots are great.
Beautiful.
You know, like while they're driving on the road trip.
Beautiful. Iconic.
Iconic.
Black and white.
And I swear to God, my 14-year-old nephew could get shots that quality of a car driving landscape in the middle of America anywhere. Yeah. I mean, I love the movie and it's sure. shot great.
Wow. Sounds like these you're are really the, slamming.
These are the worst shots I've ever seen of any motorcycle montage yeah. ride. Like, I don't think that's the hardest thing to shoot.
I would think well, not. I'm gonna say, like, I agree with you, the shots are bad. I couldn't get my head off of the original narration, which starts off with a reference to 9/11.
Yep.
He goes, oh, my brother was out on the road and the skies were clear that day, just like 9/11. It's like, wait a second, hold up.
That's what I need to get to. Someone just describe how these characters just are related to each other.
Okay.
Fonda, what this movie was about, I would just say Morgan, Virgil,
well, this
Shane,
movie.
I would just say those names, and that's all I would
this
be
movie
able to do.
Is inexplicable. It is the story of an old man mm-hmm. who is dying mm-hmm. and his children. And it is.
Then why open it on?
Yes, well, they exactly. clearly reordered.
Who knows?
Okay.
Oh, knows? This thing's but been reordered.
A million. It's like fucking Forrest Gump in that every single element. The movie. The spine of the movie is present day. Everybody's coming back to see the dad on his birthday, right?
Yes. What about the Jackie Robinson stuff? That's like
yes, but they keep flashing back, and sometimes the flashbacks like. Last for like 15, like the Vietnam flashbacks lasted forever.
Oh my God.
They just played them over and over.
There were so many so then the movie becomes flashbacks where you realize the origins of all of these children. And so it's a father and his kids are the oldest, which would be Peter Fonda, who is Dick killed in Easy Rider.
Right.
Okay.
The middle child, which is Virgil, who's the one that goes to Vietnam War and then returns and is a murderer. Mm-hmm. And then there is... What's this guy's name?
Morgan,
who's the youngest, who is the lead of the movie, who's the lawyer.
And yeah. Morgan's the one that protested the war?
Correct.
Yeah, Morgan moved to Mexico.
When he got the letter and then he raided the neighbors.
When he had that like crazy sex scene.
Oh, my God. Okay. First of all.
Wait, here's my question, though. But, okay, so I didn't see Easy Rider.
Yeah.
But it seems like that's also about counterculture in the 60s. I'm confused, because if that's the problem. The oldest son, then why is the youngest son's character seems to be very similar?
Because he looked up to his older brother.
Well, the dad also called him Wyatt when he walked up to the house in that last scene.
He looks like Peter Fonda. Mm-hmm. He's very modeled after Peter Fonda.
And it's so fucking clunky because, look, Peter Fonda at the end of Easy Rider, and you don't have to know anything about Easy Rider for this movie because it's sort of just saying, like, hey, you like these two iconic characters? Wouldn't you like to meet the family of one of them? Yeah. It's neither here nor there. It doesn't really define Peter Fonda's character in a major way.
And Easy Rider is like this iconic movie of the counterculture in the late 60s, early 70s. And the idea that a huge portion of this movie is a World War II movie?
Yeah. So,
like a 1950s, like 50, like sock hops and like the rich girl and the bad
scene from
boy.
Greece, which they have in
all
here.
All this craziness is like, this is the weirdest.
The total Tom Cruise scene where he pulls up to the house with the flight jacket on with the aviators. But so here's a question then of somebody who's seen the real Easy Rider. Do they talk about the siblings? Do they talk about the home life at all?
This was all an interpretation
of what those characters brought into Easy Rider.
Yeah, because I mean, this character wasn't like when you met Peter Fonda in Easy Rider. He's not like I'm running away from my family.
No, not at all.
And
my
he
dad
never
was
talks
a real...
about how his mom committed suicide.
I don't. I mean, maybe.
What about the rope that was hanging in the barn where they were
twice?
What was that?
They craned into that twice
from the top.
I couldn't figure that out.
There's just a rope. Like
they're in.
I'm saying, after the mom killed themselves, did they leave the rope?
No, she killed herself with a gun.
Oh, I didn't realize.
So
that.
Who got hung in that?
Who
barn?
Knows? I couldn't figure that one out.
That
at
must
all.
Have been a last minute cut.
That's why you were so disturbed because after that postpartum scene, I turned to Paul and I said, "This is what happens during postpartum." And I said, I'm going to shoot myself with a gun. And you were very disturbed. And now I'm understanding
why.
You didn't see the gun next to her.
No, I did not see the gun next to
her. They didn't know about postpartum back then.
Well, but by the way, when he came back from War II, I didn't realize this is a thing. Like, they were sleeping in bed, and he pops up, and he's like, I'm sorry, I touched your scar.
Yeah.
So wait a minute.
Like, okay, but that's what I want to know, too. Like, why did she touch his scar? So he's asleep in bed.
Did she touch his scar?
I
think she just kind
scar?
Of, like, accidentally nudged it.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, again, like, this movie deals with a lot of topics. One of our interns, Avril here, put together a list of the things that it talks about.
Yeah.
Mexican drug trade. trade. Long lost loves, aging, war, World War II, Vietnam, Iraq, feeding the homeless, salt and sea disaster, PTSD, rape, alcoholism, loveless marriages, ailing parents, draft dodging, postpartum depression, suicide, murder, and bloody revenge.
And also Jackie, race relations.
And also this Lake Sultan or whatever. We got to take care of this planet.
Also Middle East, the environment. Middle East politics.
Yeah.
You know, it's simple, man. Some wars are necessary. Some wars aren't.
I'd also say
that's a line.
I'd also say class issues.
And also like fucking on a motorcycle.
Oh, God. Some of the lines in this,
and also like big tits on your wife in Mexico. And also like biker bars.
Wait, so wait. I'm sorry.
So the warrior line. Sorry, that was what I was thinking there. You can't take.
Oh, yeah.
I have it written. Shoot. Never mind. What were you going to say, Jim?
I don't know. Virgil ends up in Mexico.
No, Virgil. We never
meet Virgil. Morgan goes.
We never meet Virgil,
right?
Which made me mental.
Wait, yeah,
the Vietnam brother.
Yeah, was he alive?
He's alive. They keep saying
he's coming, right?
And he's bringing traveling. A surprise.
God. Yeah,
the movie ends with they're like,
I fucking hate surprises.
Virgil's on his way, and they say he's bringing a surprise. I fucking hate surprises.
That's how it opens.
Credits.
And that, by the way, is probably Jack Nicholson's son for the sequel to Easy Rider 3.
Yeah.
Because he says, I hate surprises when the sister is visiting him in the first scene.
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe it would be Jack Nicholson? Because Jack Nicholson could be the only character that you could bring.
Still alive, yeah. That would be amazing.
Please make an Easy Rider 3 and have Jack Nicholson in it.
Okay, you can attack the war man, not the warrior.
Yeah.
But he was attacking the war. He said, we got to get our troops out. He wasn't saying, we got to get those piece of shit troops that don't know what they're doing out. It was like, our country needs, I don't know. It was
Well,
it didn't even make sense.
My favorite line in the movie was, hate is the opposite of love. It's the frustration of love. that to me was a line that was written forever. Like, he's a guy who smokes a lot of weed and be like, shit, that's my line. Like, hate's the opposite of love. It's the frustration of love.
My favorite thing at the salt when he goes, there's like the weird moments that almost sound like it's a documentary.
Yeah.
Where he's like riding his bike and then his voiceover will be like, I always wanted to see the Salton Sea, one of the great ecological disasters of our time, blah, 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 blah. And then it's like, and then America the Beautiful starts playing.
Oh, my God.
America, and then it becomes like a PSA for an ecological disaster. And he's like picking up fish skeletons off the ground. It's
all while his buddy's just taking a nap.
Horrible. Yeah.
He was not there that day, right? He was not there.
No.
Again, I didn't see Easy Rider 1.
You don't need to.
But I guess my question
this has
is,
nothing.
I would find, fine. I would think that the story kind of would be that these guys go on this trip to see their dad or to see one of, you know, Morgan's dad, and that they would arrive changed in some way. That's not really what happens.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I guess like the idea that he's been in Mexico for his entire life. So now he's
making a draft dodger.
Right. So he's making the ride back through America and he's seeing
what America has become.
It's become. But it's so backwards because he really doesn't see much. He goes to a strip club, he goes to Salton Sea, and he meets a guy who's helping homeless people.
Do you think that when he shows up, he's regretful that he didn't serve our country? Is
no,
that a
I
part
think,
of it?
I, no, because I think the stories he tells, you know, because the dad is so proud of Virgil for going to Vietnam and becoming like the greatest sniper in the world, apparently. You know, he's like, they came and they said to Virgil, there's a VC sniper, we need to get we need your help taken out or whatever. But then
it's very Rambo-esque, like, he's like, his lieutenant came to the house and gave him the mission. And the way they test his sniping skills is they have like matches set up and he shoots a match head and it like lights.
But the match doesn't even break.
Yeah.
So it must have just skimmed the top.
Yep.
Which is like, is that, you can't do that. Is that
but, and you know what that means? That means the bullet kept going.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where to? You know, like.
There is probably back to one of the past scenes.
Exactly. There's so much crazy, weird violence, crazy, weird sex scenes. Like, there was a lot of this that was inexplicable.
Like,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say the lines that you were saying, the love and hate thing. I loved it when she went to the baseball game. And afterwards, she goes up to him and she goes, I guess your loss was bittersweet. And I'm like, oh, great. Here comes a great pickup line. Like, you know, like they're going to give us like a good pickup line here. And then he goes,
wait, how about I'll be him, you be her.
Okay. I guess your loss was kind of bittersweet.
What's that mean?
I mean, you should call me. I thought it was going to be like, I mean, because I'm going to suck your D.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
We got that scene done anyway. Yeah,
and then when she walks away, he goes, you bet. Why would I say that? Like, I don't even get her phone number.
What I couldn't figure out was like, yeah, the dad... Oh, yeah, no. I'm sure he just, like, called the operator and is like, give me Charleston 523. Like, everything is, like, the most embarrassingly antiquated, well, except I mean, that they are the father, mm-hmm. the patriarch of this family, who goes to World War II and comes back injured on a motorcycle. Yeah. He's also...
On a motorcycle in war, too, right?
Yeah. He is, in present day, he's an old man, and he hates everybody. Yeah. He hates his daughter, who he thinks is trying to kill him. He hates the coward son who fled to Mexico. He loves Virgil, who served his country, blah, blah, blah. But he's a cranky old man. But when you flash back to him in the 50s, like, he's got his kids listening to Jackie Robinson on the play baseball. Yeah. He is like the most tolerant, like most yeah. caring, what most happened? Loving.
He goes to that time. That flag tailor.
Yeah.
He goes,
yeah,
like, yeah. I heard you're before the war, he's you were like, a tailor.
I don't understand.
You make these flags now.
I don't know what happened to him to make him this
Maybe
way.
Maybe it's because Peter Fonda died.
And the son fled to Mexico? I don't know.
It's a very, I mean, in a way, like I would say that it's a very right-wing movie because whereas the other films kind of, or I guess Easy Rider was more about drug culture and stuff like that.
Oh, it's totally left.
This is like, the father is kind of, like, he's like, you know, it was like God, love, and country, and it's changed now. Like, and you kind of see it from his point of view. And even when Morgan is selling drugs, it's like, you shouldn't be doing that. Like, you know, it's. I feel like this is much more right-leaning than it is.
But like what's interesting is, like, there's a certain idealization of certain 60s values. Yes, like
that have been lost.
Yes. Like, you know, like Morgan is a drug dealer, which is not cool, but he only deals weed, which is cool.
In Mexico. What kind of
Or that he didn't go to the war, that he was a draft dodger because Virgil, who was in Vietnam, said, don't go to Vietnam. Get out of the country. You know?
Well, and Virgil, when he came back, I think became a serial killer.
He's a murderer.
I mean,
he killed a guy. When he shows up to the bar with the hood on?
Yes.
Like, oh, yeah, weird guy in the hood that's been hanging out in the rain.
He looks like Arrow from that CW show Arrow.
It was. This is crazy.
It's like, it's insane. Like, you can't see his face. Yes. And he creepily walks into a bar like, two Bloody Marys.
By the way,
with no ice in it, by the way.
Yeah.
He delivers a 3/4 full Bloody Mary.
I would never want to drink
that. That looked orange.
And then he does this. This is an act of, in the middle of this movie is like a brutal revenge play.
Well, can I just set up one thing? Like, the dad paints this picture of Virgil as being like, he went to Vietnam, he served his country, and then basically Morgan's like, hey, that's actually not what happened.
Yeah.
Here's the other side of what
he was
happened.
About to pop his chick's cherry.
Yeah.
And then some tap dancing bikers that kind of jazz handed
really
their way in.
Upsetting. That was...
Oh, the gang rape was really upsetting.
Oh, what do you mean? Oh, and then when they raped him, but they alluded to raping him?
Yeah. That was the most upsetting rape scene I've ever seen because when they raped that girl, the guy raping the girl is making full on eye contact with Virgil.
The guy only.
And with the guy only. And it's like, and it's so gross. And then he's like, let's not forget about this boy over
here. Yeah, we're not done yet,
say,
pretty boy.
I really resented that we didn't see him being raped too.
Yeah.
It's like, I have to sit here and watch this woman who's losing her virginity get raped.
Oh, yeah.
But we're going to cut out before we watch this guy. Like,
I definitely kind of broke it. Kind of made saw the scene in my head by my own.
I also imagination. Didn't like, can you tell it to me?
I also didn't like what Morgan says. Morgan's like, after you see that rape scene, he's like, Virgil knew that he could never let that happen to anyone again. So he went to Vietnam.
No, so he never loved again.
Oh, he never loved again.
Never loved again.
So, okay, so that was the issue that I was confused about. Like,
and I think he also went to Vietnam because the setup is he is in high school and like there's one
pro baseball player ready to go.
Scouts, mm-hmm. Scouts are at his game. He is
no one's at that game.
He's got a motorcycle.
He is not good at baseball. He's not good at baseball. But scouts are like, you got a future ahead of you, kid. You're pretty great. And then she's like, bittersweet victory. And he's like, what's that mean? Call me. His life
is... He's dating a girl outside. It's a pretty pink situation. He's
like,
that
like
girl.
It's like Pleasantville or
that
something.
Scene, too, with the two scouts was... I love those kind of scenes in movies because it started with them standing there looking at him and said, you've got something special. So, like...
You got the goods.
There was no... Who knows what was said before that? Were they just like, yeah, crazy. They cut the grass today. It felt great out there.
Yeah,
hey, you got something special, kid. Like, it was... It came in mid-conversation. in a weird way.
But they were holding their big card, their big card, which is the whole reason they came. We're going to get to that later. We'll just talk about the day.
You know what I loved? One of my favorite scenes was one of the first scenes where you see Morgan and Virgil as teenagers, and Morgan is smoking a cigarette in a leather jacket.
But he never moves the smoke. He's smoking like a 40-year-old pro.
But in every cut, the ash is different lengths, which is hilarious. But also,
he's designing the bike from Easy Rider.
He's designing the bike from, yes, exactly, Peter Fonda's bike from Easy Rider.
It's like building C-3PO in Star Wars in a minute.
Ridiculously bad, that scene.
But kids smoking. I'm sort of impressed with that kid, at least just for keeping. He did seem to handle that properly.
I actually feel like that kid watched Peter Fonda, and Peter Fonda may have smoked a cigarette like that. Such a choice that I feel like that I actually like that kid.
Okay,
kid
who played it. All right. Question.
I'm not saying anything about the ash work.
No, that's fine. I hate you guys.
So the dad, when we start retelling the story from the dad's perspective, a man shows up.
Ron Howard's father.
Come again?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you not know that the older man who pulls up on the bike
is Ron Howard?
Is the medic, the ex-medic, is Ron Howard's father. That's
Whoa,
he must have repped him as a lawyer too.
Yeah.
Did not know that, but when he first
he also plays Dr. Armand's father on this season of Kroll Show.
The salute that he gives him is the worst salute I've ever seen when he stands.
This guess goes to your point about like why the father is so cranky and what exactly is going on with him? Because when he first shows up, he's so rude to him and so hateful.
Yeah,
and then he takes a nap. And then they sit literally, down for lunch.
Just a nap.
Tells them, hey, you're not leaving. I'm just going to take a nap, which I do with my guests all the time.
Yeah. But that was a really odd thing. It seemed like dinner time, too.
But he's so angry that this guy's here. I mean, it just seems he's very rude.
He didn't invite him. The daughter did.
But why is
the daughter
he
is the
so
catalyst.
Mad at him?
Because I don't think he wants these visitors. He doesn't want this attention. He wants to go home.
But then after that nap, he comes back in and is so.
And tells the rest of the
movie. He just won't shut the fuck up, honestly.
He tells the story of the rest of the movie.
It was like a bad date. Like, he wouldn't stop talking. The other guy's like, okay, great. That's all about your son's. What I've been up to?
I wrote down a code.
Why don't you ask me one question about myself?
Ron is great.
I wrote down a thing that this movie essentially just becomes a movie of someone else telling the story of other people's stories.
Yes.
It's like, I don't even feel
The movie opens on Morgan giving us the plot of Easy Rider.
Exactly. It's like everyone's telling someone, they're like, oh yeah, this is a story I know, but I'm not directly involved, but I'm showing you the inner workings of how they're experiencing the story.
I loved at the funeral of the mother who has committed suicide.
Where Boys to Men was singing?
Is a doo-wop group. There is doo-wop. It is the 1950s, and they are like in, I don't know, like white Ohio, or where are they? I don't know. But there is just like a black doo-wop group singing. I just cannot imagine that would happen.
And they had the bass guy.
It was inexplicable.
Here's my question. This is another weird thing about the movie. Like, there are these things that are set up that are not paid off, like Virgil.
Yes.
Mainly. But also
for the sequel, June.
When Virgil is
Easy Rider
3,
Virgil surprise.
In the flashback, when Virgil shows up to take his girlfriend out for a date.
Correct, yeah.
Her mom, she's in a swimsuit.
Oh, this is amazing.
Okay, her mom comes up and is speaking to her in a southern accent.
Like a Blanche DuBois.
She's not committing to it.
No one in the movie has a southern accent.
That was really great.
Okay, but here's the thing that happens, though, at the end of that scene.
Yes, I know exactly what you're going to say.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, no, but it's all very confusing because it does seem like the house is very
plantation
style.
Well, to quote the father in the movie, they are big muckety mucks in the banking industry in Springfield.
But then she says to her mom, I wrote it down at the end of the scene because
the mother
is
basically saying,
her mom wants her to go to the dance with Winston and marry Winston.
She's like, your father won't stomach white, you know, we can't handle white trash.
Right. She wants her to pair up with another muckety
another Richie Rich. Right.
And the daughter says to the mom at the end of the scene, yeah, mom, well, where did you grow up?
Yeah.
Where'd you grow up again? It was more like that, like, your accent.
No, I think she's busting her mom's balls for having such a fake, obviously fake accent.
Yeah, that's what I...
Which then she was saying...
Oh, I didn't get that.
No, she's saying, you're a fucking gold digger. You're not from the South. Yes. You've been misleading my muckety mucks banker dad.
That's what I think, too. I think she's saying, you're a fraud.
You're white trash.
You're a fraud, mom. Yeah, mom, you're a fraud.
Fuck you, dad.
Bullshit.
Okay, wait.
I learned it from watching you.
Okay, wait. But they're not in the South currently.
No one. But
they're in the Midwest, I think.
By the way, I want to talk about the one line that the mom says too, which is great, where the mom goes, "You know how we feel about white trash."
Yeah.
That's just like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
That mom.
She is white trash, though. That's what's happening. It's like the gay Christian who's like, I hate gays.
She's fixed herself.
Yeah. What I think.
All right.
So
that accent was purposely bad. Touch and go.
The moment it must have been.
Wait, you think that she's gone that deep that her own husband doesn't know that she doesn't have an accent?
No.
I think so. I think
he's been misleading that family.
I think she lives a lie.
And you want to know that's a story that never got paid off.
This is bullshit.
I guarantee
that actress was like, she came in, and this actress literally came in and was like, I've made a choice.
I'll be a director.
I've been inspired by the plays of Tennessee Williams, and I'm going to play it as if I'm Blanche DuBois, somebody who has come from trash, come from the gutter, but is representing herself as something else.
Mm-hmm. Well, looks like you took as much care into your character as I took into every aspect of this movie. And yes. Yes.
And I thought about what you said, and yes, I will suck your dick.
What about the line that reminded me of that line? Because at first I thought they were doing a joke, because sometimes it felt like they were doing a joke on what movies were.
Right.
Like the whiskey bottle not breaking.
Yes. That was a great moment.
Like that felt like the accent joke. At first I was like, maybe they're making a joke just on people doing accents.
I wish they'd done a joke about fake mustaches.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
The fake mustache budget in this movie was like astronomical.
Okay, think about all the actors in that scene, because that was the dad, like in his, I guess he was in his 30s at that point.
Yeah.
Because the mustache is total 30s. Imagine.
Except that at this point, the actor playing the father in his 30s and the actors playing his sons are all the same age.
Yes. Oh, that's why he's got the mustache to separate them.
The mustache is also gray. And the rest of his hair is...
Back in the 30s, people did look similar in age at all times.
So imagine being another actor. You're just shooting that day and you think, you call your parents, can you fucking believe it? I got a part in this movie. And you show up and you see the main guy they're focusing in kind of this B-roll stuff has the worst mustache on. And then you're wondering, is the director going to let this fly? It's obvious. This is gonna be a huge movie. You can't have a mustache looking like that.
Don't worry about it. Well, again, people I think may have been suckered in by the premise of, yeah, we're doing a sequel to Easy Rider. We have the rights. Like, come aboard. Like, Joey Kern being a perfect example. Great guy, talented actor. Hardcore fucking
his
in
old
that
lawyer.
Scene.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
one of the segments I was most fascinated by was when. Was when the dad goes down for his nap. The daughter, whose name
Shane,
and who's kind of organized, who's put like most of the movie in motion. Shane and Vance Howard walk around the farm, the where they are,
and then goes off.
He then starts explaining to her how he's recently become divorced.
No one cares about him.
Yeah, another character.
He's like, you know what? We just realized we were living independent lives, and that wasn't good enough for us. We wanted something more. He is a very elderly man. He is hilariously elderly.
Here's my question. Was she also going through a divorce?
Yeah, then she flashes back. By the way, everybody has flashbacks.
Yeah.
The flashbacks are not unique to a point of view,
a
person, or to a reality.
They flashback and we find out that she's having trouble, or I guess she's divorced from that guy.
Yes.
But then why, when the dad initially shows up, is that guy there?
Great question. Don't know. Originally, when they bring the dad home,
the husband is there.
He's drunk and he goes, "Hey, Wild Bill," and she goes, "You're a fucking embarrassment."
Oh God!
I actually thought that I thought that was Virgil.
I did too.
That guy, because it seemed like that she was bringing the whole family home.
No, that was her husband.
Significantly older than her.
But is that the same guy who gets out of the Escalade?
Guys, we know who that actor is.
It's so sad
because when he comes out of the Escalade, she goes, "Would all the lights in Paris go off?" Or was that a flashback? It's so hard to tell.
That is a flashback. That was 1 year earlier. By the way, this flashback is the only one that gives us a timestamp.
Well, I would say the, my favorite line in the movie, another favorite line, is when the old man goes, well, that's pretty much it for the 40s. Like, to let you know that, like, okay, that, that's like, here's a, when asked what the movie was about, the screenwriter, star of the film, he goes, well, it's about something important. It's about family. It's about the troops.
That's
about racism and other things. It's important because topics are important.
Whoa.
That's, what was that on?
That was that was his comment when asked what the movie was about. He said, it's important because topics are important.
Can I tell you who the ex-husband is?
Important topics.
Do you guys know who the ex-husband is?
Who? No.
It's Michael Nouri. It's
It's
the love interest in Flashdance.
Wow.
Oh.
Like, Lord. You know exactly who he is. It's this guy.
Yeah, of course.
That's you know who I thought it was the guy when we got out? I thought it was Eric Roberts.
Oh, it looks like
he has an Eric
Very
Roberts
similar.
Kind of swag to him.
But what was the husband saying? Oh, wow. Jesus. What was the dad saying that she had, that Shane had sold out somehow and was on private jets and.
Yeah,
what
she
was
basically.
That story about?
I think she went and gotten.
She married a rich man rather than marrying West Coast. Who is Jeff Fahey's character?
An ATV,
character.
Writer.
But this is what was weird about that. And maybe the whole movie is supposed to be about how stories are, you know, understood from different perspectives.
Oh, yeah. Rashomon?
But we know why she never married him, which is because he never said I love you or was willing to
emotionally connect.
He never emotionally
talked.
Connect.
As far as we
he
know.
Never spoke.
He just liked the fuck on a motorcycle, which seems very uncomfortable and hard.
It took nothing for that sex scene to jump off.
By the way.
They were just like hanging out. He was fixing the motorcycle. Cut to titties a-popping.
By the way, I love movies like this, like movies like The Room and Birdemic, which I feel like this movie can definitely go in that category. But with the gratuitous boobs, because it's sort of like someone's like, yeah, you got to put tits in it because it will be overseas. People need to see it. Like when Morgan's girlfriend is seen in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
She's just sitting upright in bed.
Nude. Totally nude.
Out. It's like, boom, hi.
And then she comes up to him and he's like, I'm leaving. And she's like, okay, never see her again.
Never, yeah, that's,
now,
I gotta go
Francesca?
On that ride.
Francesca? Did anybody else find it strange that when Shane showed up to Morgan's villa in Mexico, she didn't say hello to Francesca in the pool?
Well, she didn't want to bother.
She said, she looks so great.
She looks so like
bother
relaxed.
Her from just.
Hey, guess what? I traveled to Mexico.
How about the fact that
she didn't want to bother her?
How about the fact that when he goes to make his drug deal, like the drug dealers give him less money, and he's like cool with that.
Yeah. No. Also,
well, why would you fuck up with a Mexican cartel at that point? Like you're in for a penny and for a pound.
I'm going back to another scene we already discussed here, but it's the sex scene where the girl right before she gets raped. But as they're about to hook up, he says a line to her, which I don't remember his line, but she says, "I bet you say that to all the girls." And he says,
"Yeah,
only ones at night." Like a total dirtbag line. And then she looks at him like that's the most romantic fucking thing anyone's ever said.
Wait, did he say no? Yeah. I thought he said only ones.
That,
I thought
Nick?
He said only ones that I like.
Oh, yeah. I heard only ones at night.
but I did have an issue. I did have an issue with that because
I heard it
felt equally dismissive because it was like, yeah, I do, but only to a handful.
Yeah,
like,
I've said it to girls. Yeah,
I've said it to a handful of them.
I heard it as only those I spite.
I want to go back because we're going back to the rape scene when he does get his revenge on one, not both guys.
No,
because
no, and there were like five guys
that bearded guy got out totally clean.
When he slashes his throat when the guy's at the urinal and the blood goes into the urinal like pee, and he goes, "No more popping cherries." That was
it's disgusting. Yeah.
Here's what I didn't like about that.
It was a great moment.
Here's what I didn't like about
solid,
that.
Solid, dirty hair.
If I'm going to seek revenge on someone, and I'm going to go through the planning and I'm going to execute it.
This is a good question because people have been asking this for a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Here's the thing. Like, in my revenge fantasy, this fucking guy's going to know it's me.
Right.
Oh,
like, our guy.
Well, he did by
saying
no more popping cherries.
Barely. This guy's already in the death throes. He's barely paying
attention.
He's
shocked, yeah.
Because
so
Virgil
quick.
Comes up behind the guy and slices his throat and walks away. And all he says is no more popping cherries. But, like, it's unclear to me that that has resonated with the guy who's being killed.
They
but
didn't go on his face like, oh, I remember. I raped
you. Hey, maybe you remember
you don't think
me.
That just being killed is enough.
No.
But it also makes
I
me
need
go,
him to know who's doing okay. it.
It also makes me go, like, this guy raped so with such ease that I doubt that was the last person
No,
presenting.
Really. Oh yeah.
So this could have been. He really could have
what
been.
Were they,
anyone.
Were they like in an outdoor kind of like cement area where there's a fire
fireplace?
Pit?
There's a fireplace, but no walls, but a roof.
And she tried to pull her shirt off, and he said, "No, no, no, no."
Yeah. Why did he say no to that?
Because I think he knew the guys were coming. Maybe.
No.
Maybe he knew.
No. That doesn't. That's not right.
No. 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 He didn't. But he. But why?
She,
yeah.
I don't she know. She seemed like. This takes place in the 60s, I think, this section. She
early
seemed
60s.
Like
she had a tan from like the 90s.
She seemed
though.
To me, I was going to say she I kept
so yeah,
she
modern.
Was she was contemporary. I wrote she looked like she's in a Cinemax movie.
Yeah.
You know, she's in like a contemporary movie where she's going to take her top off. Like about like couples that go to an island. It's not that I've seen these, but it's like couples that go to an island and all of a sudden like everybody swaps partners. Like one of those movies.
Well,
like it's a Cinemax series.
Like
don't
really
worry
know. Okay, all right, yeah, interesting. That's a series. A series on Cinemax.
I mean, there's a bunch of different ones.
But, you've heard about these.
I've heard about them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've never watched them much. Just for research.
Sure, see if there's a movie that would be appropriate
just
for this.
Well, also because I wanted to know, I've seen a couple of them pop up on Cinemax, and I just want to know if they're okay for kids to watch.
And you have Cinemax.
They're not. They're not okay for kids to watch. I figured that much out.
I want to just, I know we've been talking about a lot. The one thing that you could argue about this movie is that the sound design is not good. Say what you will about anything else. The sound design is really bad. They're over yelling over movie music. I want to just play a scene. This is Morgan and Wes in the strip club in the beginning. It's, I think, the best example of like the weird whispering and audible sound with loud music in the background, just so you can kind of hear and see if you can yourself make out what they're saying. Here you go.
Well, you got that right. She decided to come down and pay me a visit.
And you took the bait. The girl's not easy to resist.
I cannot hear a thing.
Not easy at all.
He's talking about his sister's body, by the way.
Well, you're right.
She sure as hell reacted.
This is dialogue in a movie.
Oh, by the way, there's two chicks dancing on the bar in front of them.
So that's what you're dealing with. The whole movie is under that kind of hard to hear.
I turned on subtitles for this movie.
Yeah, you have.
And that was very helpful, I will say.
Oh, my gosh. There's so much.
Are you working for subtitle people?
You know what? Just don't worry about it. Just go to subtitles.
What I hate about this movie, too, is I know that they're trying to make, like, a connection
but cool
to,
subtitles. It's called rad subtitles.
You do, like, little emojis.
Yeah. We put a lot of poop signs in there.
Really
thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up.
The one thing, do you know that they're making emoji? Somebody sued emojis, like, to make them more racially friendly now? Because there was a... they felt like they were a little bit racially insensitive, some of the emojis.
Oh, yeah.
And so now they're making more racially.
Good. I hope they put a Greek guy in there so people stop saying, this is you, and sending me the turban guy.
Oh, jeez.
Who are you texting? Okay.
Who has your number?
Jerks.
Okay,
hey,
so,
jerks. Stop sending me turban guy and saying, this is me.
Here's what I will talk about that I hated about this movie more than anything, which is like the... They make this dumb thing because he rides the Easy Rider motorcycle and he goes like, she's like, oh my God, you have his jacket where he presumably died in his jacket and his motorcycle was wrecked. He goes, oh, you have these things? Like, yeah, the cops shipped up his motorcycle to Mexico to him and gave him his jacket. And then the thing that really pissed me off was like, he puts the money in from the drug deal into
one.
Like, yeah, like he puts it in like an Easy Rider. That's a very big thing. Like he puts the money from this drug deal into a tube, into the gas tank. And that's like, there's a lot of money there. And he's like, family secret.
Yeah.
Like that just takes away all the coolness.
Also,
of the
first you can't
movie.
Fit as much gas in there. That's a big thing.
Yeah, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Why did the mom committed suicide just from postpartum? Was there any scene that set that up or no? She just did it.
She said, he goes, what? She was weird after Morgan was born.
Right. It was just in VO.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, which is most
of
the movie.
It's kind of sad because Shane was the youngest. So she was weird after Morgan was born and then I guess continued
to have
kids.
Oh, no, maybe it
was
Shane.
I think it was Shane.
Oh, yeah.
Shane was the baby.
Yeah, Shane the girl was the baby.
Also, speaking of that motorcycle, the last scene where the dad says something, I forget what he says, and he goes, I've been waiting 40 years to hear you say that and to see you ride that bike.
Yeah.
It's like, how long have you had the bike? What year again was that where this whole thing happened? But then he puts him on the bike, honestly, like
dad has to ride the bike at the end.
The toddler, he pats a helmet on his head. Yeah, look at you, you're on a bike.
And by the way, they have to time lapse that scene because it was not quick to get an old man on
the
bike.
They made it a montage of other scenes we'd seen in the movie. Meanwhile, it has been established that for the dad's birthday, they have fixed up his World War II motorcycle in the shed.
And that was a big surprise.
That never comes out.
But here's the truth of it all, is that if he gets on the back of that bike and they ride to, I think they're going from Phoenix to Indiana?
No idea, but maybe.
Maybe. That the dad, it's not a safe ride for him.
No, I thought they never let him ride.
What do you think some of the hurdles might be?
He should not be on the back of that.
Was West Coast 2 at that time? Because he had already got there. You think that him and that girl would probably
West
be
Coast
having
was like one just, 2 days. That was
he's
it.
Plowing Shane.
Was on the bike with. She was like helping him get on the motorcycle.
Did anybody else find it odd that there was a maid or a caretaker?
Yeah.
Who
just she went home to visit
Shane.
Her family in Phoenix.
Gave her a couple of days
Why
off.
Why was her family in Phoenix, though? That she didn't
so
speak
good.
A word of English.
No.
Oh, yeah. Gave her a couple of days
she
off.
She had to go see her family
Where
in Phoenix.
Where do you think this movie took place?
Oh, I thought that was New Mexico, because that was like the
New
decor.
Mexico.
Okay, okay.
But then I also like the idea that her maid was like, Mrs., come quick, come here. He's freaking out. And she's like, all in ADR. She's like, oh, don't worry about that. He does it all the time. Ever since I can remember, he screams in his sleep because he has PTSD. Like, so she wouldn't warn him, like, hey, my dad is asleep. He's probably going to go freak out because he's done this his entire life. But she also lets that horse go. That horse that she's dying.
Oh, they never show that.
They never show where the horse went.
I put a note down. Did the horse run?
I thought the horse was going to run through the house.
Oh, no. The throwing the rock. So as far as it goes to, like, making it a period piece at times, you know, like, how bad it was, even just the coloring of it or wardrobe or, you know, it was
or
all.
Or Vietnam was clearly shot in, like, Bronson Canyon.
Yeah. So, like,
well, they have that grease moment where the girl is dressed like Sandy from Greece.
Yeah. Well, when he's throwing the stuff at the window, you know, that's how they're saying this was back when you had to throw stuff at windows to get
before
people's attention.
Before cell phones.
Yes. Yeah.
He should have thrown a cell phone at the window. this wasn't in the credits,
that'd be
right?
In Scary Movie 3, by the way.
the flashbacks that they show, the flashbacks that they show are not in the movie because they show like a scene where like Morgan comes and visits the dad inside the room and they're like laughing and then the dad's getting shaved and all
the
these
shaved,
scenes.
Yeah,
all
the was,
they're
shaved.
Not in
but
there.
But they have Vance Howard saluting. They have the dad. They have.
What about when he jokes about her cutting him?
Oh, yeah,
and he's like, oh, God. Just kidding. You didn't almost kill
and
me.
And you can see 30 minutes of deleted scenes if you buy the DVD.
Oh,
so
God.
Maybe they're only screen grabs.
I would rather.
You know, the stuff that you find in the deleted scenes is why is the rope hanging? Like, what's the Southern mom's backstory? Those are all the things that got cut.
I would rather kill myself.
You also get DVD commentary from Feitzer and Wilson explaining what's happening on the screen throughout the movie. They kind of let you know.
Okay, maybe that's worth it.
And Wilson regales Feitzer about the time that he passed a kidney stone while on the bike during the shooting of the movie.
Another great quote, I'd rather have a changed sun every day than a yellow one.
Yeah.
Oh, that was great.
And he was talking about it and not wanting an Asian son, right?
I would have been. I will just say this. There are no 5-star reviews of this movie because it people don't even know it really exists. But I will say this is the interesting thing. And if someone can get to the bottom of this, I would really love to know why. It has a 78% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which is very high. But there are absolutely zero reviews from anyone.
Because people think it's Easy Rider.
Oh, so they may have just clicked like they like it. Okay. So no reviews, but it has 78% approval rating. Would you guys recommend people seeing this movie?
I would. I can't remember. How do we watch this? Was this easy?
It's on Hulu.
Yeah.
It's on Hulu. It's on Netflix.
Well, I've
on
rented
Apple.
It on Amazon. Yeah. I just paid $5.
Oh, really? I would say, like, watch it until you're like, this is horrible. I want to turn it off. Then feel free to turn it off. But just watch it for this maniac who did it. Watch it for the crazy people who are in it. It's nuts.
I think this goes up in my mind of like Birdemic in the Room. It's something. It's not.
It's a lesser. It's in that category, but it's a lesser movie.
Less rewatch because Birdemic in the Room are very rewatchable.
And those movies, because they are so insane. Like this movie is much more calmly insane, which isn't
as
fun.
It has a bigger budget than both of those movies, so it's not. I don't know. It doesn't like cross over.
You don't have scenes like the football scene in the room.
No.
Yes. Or, mm-hmm. you know, you don't. It's,
but you have some scenes that are memorable.
For sure.
But yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's a little bit more.
It's. I would say watch part of it. And if it's.
If you watch it with friends, it's fun.
If it's doing it for you, keep watching because it's crazy.
And the tagline of this movie, every family has its secrets, every legend has a beginning. But it really isn't the beginning of. You don't even really get.
Did you guys think that there was going to be a revelation that the father and Vance Howard had like a brokeback love with each other?
Ooh, I would have liked that.
What about the N-word in it, too? Remember that?
Oh, my God!
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was that in the, one of the last scenes of the movie?
Yeah.
Morgan drops the N-word.
Yeah.
I was like, what's happening?
He's a writer.
And he said it really, it's hard, you know, it's hard to, I'm sure, to say that word, like, when you know a lot of people are going to see it, and he really said it with authority.
Oh, yeah.
He's not afraid. That's the counterculture kind
of. Oh yeah, he's taking.
You know, he's taking the reins from Peter Fonda and Dennis Hopper.
But I will say this: if you've never seen Easy Rider,
well, that's what I'm going to.
You should
see
watch
now.
Easy Rider.
Yeah, Easy Rider's great.
I would like to see that now. Yeah.
Guys, get on it. It's a great. I'm not opening up
this
the world
is
to
what
it.
I
w- say it's a great movie.
I would say: watch Easy Rider. Make that a priority. Then. Watch the first 20 minutes of this just to be like, holy shit.
Yeah. I haven't seen a movie with this kind of bad acting and plot hole. Like, I haven't gone out of my way to see bad movies in a long time, and I'm so thankful that I'm in this business, you know? Because I know that I can have a chance for the rest of time to be in something.
It's
no matter how good or bad I am.
It's no one's setting out to make this in a weird way.
No, I commend this lawyer on his what was undoubtedly a lot of very hard work that went into this movie.
Years of lawsuits, as
helicopter
he says.
Shots. You know,
he
cranes.
Did it. It looks good. It does look good.
It looks okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes it looks impressive.
Nick, you are in a movie right now that just came out, right?
It's called Bad Johnson, and I play a penis.
Oh,
it's
nice.
I can't wait to see this.
I play a guy's penis supernaturally becomes a human. And
it's a
me.
Really funny script. I remember reading it.
Yeah.
It's
like you become the penis personified. Like you are
like
walking around with him. As
yeah, I'm not.
Penis.
I don't look as a penis.
Right.
Like I don't.
Right.
I'm not. I don't have foreskin or anything. I mean, in real life too.
Because you've been circumcised.
Yeah.
Good for you.
That's good.
And that where is that? That's on all the digital formats.
Yeah, you can see it on demand. And then it's theaters on May 2nd.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
It's the same thing that you guys did with.
Ass backwards.
Yeah.
Cool.
Are you going to come out as an advocate for circumcision as a part of this movie?
I mean, I did have my son circumcised.
Oh, interesting.
I watched the whole thing.
It's a big thing now.
People are against it. I just wanted him to match his father. Really.
Of course.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, guys. Let's do it. Keep it.
Not feel like
because that's what all boys want to do is have the same talk as their parents. Because it'd be weird otherwise.
When you're sitting around.
As long as they're the same, it's totally normal.
Now, Nick, and also your Netflix, your comedy special is on Netflix right now, too.
Yes, Folk Hero.
Which is super funny.
Thank you. Netflix, iTunes, and then we're going to do a vinyl release.
Oh, that's awesome. And I love that you have one giant billboard. And where is it? It's in the middle of...
Central Oregon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on right off... it's not a 5-5. It's off the 280. And it's not even off a major interstate. And then I had two semi-trucks go that had a run from here to Montana. We did them for that. And
I love it.
And one person has seen the semi. One person saw the semis. And I've had a lot of people send me that.
One person?
Yeah.
That's
some money
crazy.
Well spent.
Yeah.
You got that one viewer.
I was going to say for the billboard, because, you know, everybody, I wanted a billboard so bad, and they were like, well, you have zero money, because you're not Aziz or somebody, so you don't really have a budget.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. You're not Aziz?
No.
Oh, boy.
Oh, let's erase
I'm not
dump
like,
this, dump
shut
this,
it
dump it.
I'm not the
shut
big, famous
erase.
Aziz.
Erase.
Can we cut this out?
Kevin Hart. But the... I got more press out of having one billboard in the middle of nowhere than I think I could have gotten out of any, like, having a billboard
funny.
In Hollywood.
Oh, that's great.
Know? So that's great. Well, check those out. Jason, what do you want to talk about? Anything?
No, nothing really.
June?
Ass Backwards is out on Netflix and Hulu.
Awesome. And I want to just give
Which is super funny, by the way. I love that.
Thank you.
I want to give very funny, call to action to all you people out there. How Did This Get Made? Awards are coming up. If you guys want to make some sort of... I don't know, sound montage, collage, or something like that. We're going to play some of those and mixed in with your categories. Voting is going to be on our Facebook page. If we missed anything about Easy Rider 2, you can feel free to add a correction and omission to our Earwolf board forum. It's easy. You'll figure it out. And you can always follow us for the latest updates on Twitter at HDTGM. That's us there. Plus all the people that help us behind the scenes. I'm talking about our amazing engineer, Brett Morris, working the boards. Great work in the boards in there. I'm talking about our clip puller, Avril Halley, who I've been mispronouncing her name for a very long time. I hope I am on the track now. Nate Kiley does all of our reach search. Leanna Waldron, who is just killing it on the graphic designs. Check out our Facebook page to see what she's up to. She's doing some cool shit. She actually has some stickers that maybe I'll give out to some people. And, of course, Katie Dyer, who runs our social media presence. Our Twitter is coming along great, and our Facebook, too. Thank you guys for helping us out. The show couldn't be made without you. And all the great people here at Earwolf that I can't even mention. There's so many great people. All right, that's the end of today's episode. Remember, buy your tickets for our July 19th live show at LargoLA.com and check out OJ the Musical on VOD wherever VOD is available. Later!
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit Earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. The wolf dead.
Hey, I'm Arnie Niekamp, host of the Earwolf podcast, Hello from the Magic Tavern, a fully improvised comedy chat show set in a magical world. I'm from Chicago, but my co-hosts are a talking badger.
Oh, yeah, baby. Well, I'm actually a shapeshifter.
Yeah, it's complicated. I'm also joined by a talking wizard.
All wizards can talk, but I am the greatest talker of them all.
I'm trapped in a magical land, and instead of having adventures, every week we interview monsters and talking animals. Some of the great guests we've had on the show include Lauren Lapkus.
Paul F. Tompkins.
Travis McElroy.
Tawny Newsome. Felicia Day.
Sean and Hayes from Hollywood Handbook.
Zach and Jess from Off Book.
Scott Adsit. Janet Varney.
Matt Besser. Danielle Schneider. Todd Barry.
Gilbert Gottfried. All these guests and many, many more.
You can start from the first episode if you want to follow the whole journey.
You can jump in if you scroll through and you see a character that sounds interesting.
Or just listen to the most recent episode.
That's Hello from the Magic Tavern. Listen to it on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.